Welcome to the Practical Prepping Podcast. We're helping everyday people become prepared for whatever emergencies come our way. Where gear is good, but knowledge is better, because the more you know, the less you have to carry. We're your hosts, Mark and Krista Lawley.
Well, hello again, everybody. This is Krista giving you a little update on this tropical storm, which actually is a hurricane now, I believe. Henri, Tropical Storm Henri is now Hurricane Henri, as I understand it. And it looks pretty serious and pretty formidable. We were looking at the Weather Channel and some other news outlets this morning, and they are really predicting some record-breaking storm surge, flooding, power outages. I mean, the whole basket of goodies that comes with a hurricane blasting in from the ocean and then hitting landfall.
Now, be aware that we are recording this on Sunday, and by the time you hear this, landfall will have already been made.
Oh, that's right. That's true. That's true. Yes. So, you know, Mark, it makes me think that there's two kinds of people in the world. The kind of people who prep and the kind that do not. And it's basically, that's what we want to address today, too. There's so many requests that come in online that says, listen, I'm new to this. I need to learn how to do this. I'm really interested now. I see the need for being prepared for emergencies, both known and unknown. And then there's also preppers that are well experienced at it, mm-hmm. that have been at it for years, like you and I have, and yet they still sometimes need a little refresher course, maybe a little nudge or a reminder that maybe there's an area here or there. And you and I have even found in our own prepping that we have some gaping holes here and there, and we need to address that as well.
And we find those from time to time.
We do. When we start thinking about it and talking about it and listening to other people's prepping and their advanced prepping, we realize, oh, we have areas that we need to address. So we really thought that today would be a good time to devote this podcast to addressing primarily the newer prepper and to also throw in some reminders for the advanced prepper. So, Mark, what's our topic today?
Well, here we're talking about some prepper tips, really, that I wish we had known when we started. And these are prepper tips that new preppers need to know when starting out, and it is a reminder for the rest of us. Now, the first one is not really sexy. This is not going and buying gear and stuff. And
getting all tactical. Yeah.
This is kind of the drudgery of prepping to some degree.
Yeah.
But you
yeah.
have to have a written plan. Make a written plan. That's the first tip that I wish that we had had. That would have saved us some money. It would have saved us some trouble. It would have saved us some time. And when you're making that plan, there's some things that you need to do. And one is to decide on a prepping budget. How much can you afford to spend per week, per month? It can be $5. It can be $10, $20. And at $20 per month, you can build up a fair little supply of food.
Right. You know, you have to have a reasonable timeline on getting started as mm-hmm. well. Now, there might be some listeners out there that have $2,000 laying around. They can just blow on all kinds of prepping gear. But I would say most of us are just not at that level. So we just kind of want to address this from a budgetary concern and to also hit what we believe is the most important things you need to do first.
If you'll think about this, like the financial planners always talk about dollar cost averaging.
Mm-hmm.
And that is
not trying to buy when the market's low and sell when the market's high. And if you're doing this for retirement investment, just decide on an amount each month and put that amount into your financial plan. If it's $100 a month, I don't care if the market's up or the market's down, you buy $100 or invest $100 that month and every month. Do the very same thing with prepping. And then you will see your preps grow to a point where they will serve you when needed. But as Chris mentioned, a reasonable timeline. You can't do all of this in 2 weeks. I don't care if you do have the money to do it. Set some goals. Do you have 3 days worth of food set aside? If not, that's your first goal. Then a week, then 2 weeks, then a month. And when are you going to have that buy? Now, that's going to depend on what your budget is. If you set aside $20 a week, you can grow that month's worth of food quicker than you can if you set aside $20 a month. But it all is dependent on your available, disposable, discretionary income. What can you honestly afford to spend? If it's $5 a month, then spend $5 a month. We don't want you going in debt for this. We don't want you robbing Peter to pay Paul, so to speak. We don't want you taking money from the family budget that you cannot afford to spend that needs to be spent otherwise.
Exactly. This isn't like gambling money that you throw away. This is an investment in your future and your survival and your ability to be able to ride out an emergency that may take place in your area.
In fact, take your gambling money and put it into prepping.
Yeah, because that's not a gamble. That's a win-win every time.
We know that we are going to find ourselves in a situation where our preps are going to be necessary. So start writing on that written plan, and trust me, I'm rewriting ours right now, and it takes a little while to do this, and it's okay to get a start on food and water while you're working on your plan.
Hey, listen, I just want to tell you about a couple of books that you need to add to your collection and give as gifts. I highly encourage that you go to Amazon and look up this title, Making Contact During Emergencies. This is information that may save your life or the life of someone you care about. If injured, lost, or found in a disaster or another type of emergency. This book was written by Mark and Krista Lawley. I'm Krista and Mark is my husband. Book number two that we wrote that we're especially proud of and has gotten a lot of buzz is entitled Practical Prepping for Everyday People. This is a common sense guide on preparing for life's emergencies. And when we say practical prepping, we mean the type of emergencies you're going to find yourself in and day out. Car emergencies, dead batteries, flat tires, storm damage. The roof has gotten blown off. You find that you have no power, no electricity, no devices are working. These kinds of things are happening to somebody somewhere every single day. And we were astonished when we did a little research to find that a vast majority of people found themselves woefully unprepared for one or more of these types of emergencies. And particularly after this COVID year that we've experienced, I think a whole lot more of us are paying closer attention to things like grocery store supply chains, the ability to be able to buy gas, the ability to be able to move freely about, or what's going to happen if we do have to stay home for 3 weeks solid. Practical Prepping for Everyday People by Mark and Krista Lawley, also Making Contact During Emergencies. Go to Amazon, look these up, add these to your collection. We sure appreciate it.
Now, when you're writing your plan, there are some categories that you need to put into your plan. Some of these we're not going to deal with yet, but we need to put them into our plan. And the first one, obviously, is food and water. Now, you've got to have a plan for your food. Start out with your very short-term things, things that your family normally eats and things that you can rotate very easily. Later, we will begin to layer our food stock, and we will put in some dehydrated and some freeze-dried, but not at this point. Starting out, and I wish I had been told this, to start out with things that you can eat over the next few weeks. And then water. You need to look at how much water you're going to store, how you're going to store that. You're going to need to learn filtration and purification. And how will you replenish your water supply if you need to?
Another thing that you want to look at is fire. Do you have what it takes to be able to cook without power? We've discussed this before. Many of us have an outdoor grill, some sort of a smoker, a grill, an outdoor kitchen, what have you. Some have the camping stove. There are even emergency stoves, and there are actually dozens and dozens of sites all over the internet on how to build a stove out of a flower pot. So there's actually some ways that you can cook and heat and prepare food.
Just as an example here, our first backup is our camp stove. We can bring our little propane camp stove in, literally set it on top of your stove, and cook on it. If that's not an option, our backup to that is the burners on your gas grill sitting out on the patio. Now, it will always sit on the patio because even if it's 20 degrees, we can't bring that inside and use. You cannot use a propane grill.
No, that inside. That is a definite life-threatening hazard, and there are people who have lost their lives bringing grills indoors, even in a tent.
Mm-hmm.
It has happened. People have
died
in their sleep by improperly using gas grills inside.
Right, back to our plan. Our plan, first backup is camp stove. Second backup is the grill, the burners, or the grill itself. Third is the smoker. We would take the top off the smoker, build a fire in the smoker in the bottom, and use it like a charcoal grill. I mean, it would literally be a charcoal grill at that point. And then fourth is building a fire outside and cooking on an open fire. So we've got four backup methods there to be able to cook. That's what we're talking about putting your plan. Now, once you've got those, look at that and see what you need in the way of fuel. We know that we need the small 1 pound bottles to be able to cook on the camp stove.
Bottles of
propane.
Propane, there you go.
We know that on the grill, we need the bigger 4.5 gallon, 20 pound bottles, so we keep a supply of those. So whatever your backup method is, and though we rarely use charcoal, we have a few bags of charcoal here that we can put into the smoker if we needed to do that. And we have a stash of wood that we can use to build a fire. So we've got fuel for each of our backup methods if the power goes out. Any question about that? Is that making sense in what I'm trying to say about making the plan?
Yes, and I think that being able to write it down is going to prompt you to think of these things more clearly.
Mm-hmm.
When you have to write something, you have to think more intentionally. And so this will help you, the listener, especially the beginning prepper listener, this will help you really understand what do you have at the ready in your possession right now? Or is that something that after food and water, you may want to start introducing some form of being able to cook without power.
And we're going to talk a little further about that in a few minutes. But in writing these things down, you might put your grill as your backup. And as you're looking at that, it dawns on you, hey, I need to store some fuel for that grill.
That's what I'm saying, is that now you're starting to think, okay, it's like buying a car and not putting gas in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to put the fuel in to make the machine work.
All right, let's move on to shelter. Now, in most situations, your shelter is going to be your residence, whether it's your home, your apartment, wherever it is that you live, that is normally going to be your shelter. But what if you had damage to that? Could you put a tarp over some type of damage to keep water from coming in? What if you had to get home in an SHTF situation? Do you have a tarp in the bag or trash bags to make a shelter out of? We're going to cover uses for trash bags here in the near future. There's so many. But how would you do that? Now, we're just talking about writing this down at this point in time. Moving on in our plan, we need a plan for first aid. Now, you need a first aid kit for home. That's going to be your most extensive first aid kit is the one at home, and that's going to include your OTC medications, your hydrocortisone creams, your antibiotic creams, your bandages and alcohol and things like that. Okay, what about a kit for your car? Now, when we talk about first aid kits, we advocate, even though there are some fine kits available, you have to be careful in purchasing a kit. You can usually build one a lot less expensively than you can purchase one. Now, if you're wanting to buy an all-in-one kit, go to Doom and Bloom. It's Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy. They sell some kits that are very comprehensive. And they are worth the money there, but otherwise you can generally build a kit much more cost effectively than you can purchase it. All right, how about a kit for EDC? You and I both carry a small EDC kit, and it is for handling boo-boos, basically. Now, in my pocket on my uniform pants, I carry a homemade blowout kit. I carry a kit that has tourniquet, it has bandaging, and it has gauze in it. And I've used that on a gunshot victim at one time a couple of years ago. That's what I had available, and that's what I used. But I carry that in my left pocket on my, we wear tactical pants at work, the cargo pants. And so depending on how you dress, depending on what you carry, you need a kit to carry with you every day, even if it's just a bunch of Band-Aids, a little bit of bandaging, and some antibiotic cream. But put that into your plan.
Also, while you're preparing your plan, consider what your level of security is going to be. You have to do a threat assessment on your own safety and those for whom you are responsible. So think of your security plan. You definitely want to plan the ways that you can stay safe. Our episode number 19 some time ago was actually entitled Safety Tips for the Home and While You're Out. So we do ask that when you have time, go back to episode 19, review those safety tips. It'll prompt you to think about your threat assessment in regards of security and for those for whom you are responsible. You need to be able to protect yourself.
And there's a lot of things on that episode that don't really cost any money to do.
Exactly. Like things like situational awareness. Mm-hmm. This is that notion that you really do have to keep an eye and an ear open out and around you wherever you are. And I've really practiced this very well, especially if I'm pumping gas at the gas station. Mm-hmm. Instead of just like whipping out my phone, and you know, first of all, I don't take my phone out when I am at the gas pump. I have made it a point to stand and look around me 360 all the way around. I want people that are at the gas station to know that I'm looking at them and that they may be looking at me and that I'm aware. Where am I? What's going on? Is everything, does, you know, sometimes you can go by the way you feel, that intuition. And coming in and out of parking lots and grocery stores and department stores and places of business, be looking around, that head on a swivel. It works. When people see that you're aware of their presence, it kind of just puts them on notice too. So many people that are victims of crime will tell you, well, I wasn't paying attention. My head was in the clouds. I was daydreaming. I was looking at my phone.
And the bad guys are reading you.
They are.
They're looking for people that are not paying attention. So that paying attention, that situational awareness is a very good thing to practice there, and it can keep you out of trouble.
Sure can.
Now, when it comes to security, we advocate if you can carry a firearm and you're willing to carry it, we advocate that you do that. We know that a lot of countries and a lot of cities, you're unable to do that. But if you can, we ask that you consider that as it is a very good means of protection and security. But these are things that need to go into your plan. And to recap those, food, water, fire, shelter, first aid, and security. Put those categories into your written plan, and then you'll be able to flesh those out better as we go.
Now, here is the part where we're going to advise you in ways that may be surprising. We're going to say that right now, if you are absolutely beginning from start one.
And this is what I wish I had been told when we started out.
That you do not start buying any kind of gear. Now, when we say gear, Mark, what are we talking about?
No bug out bags, no bug out vehicles, no solar panels or generators, no knives, no multi-tools, nothing.
And the reason we say that is because there's lots of things you can begin doing, such as reading and learning, listening to other podcasts as well, watching some YouTube videos, but don't buy any gear just yet. We know that you'll eventually need some gear, of course, but it will save you a lot of money if you don't spend a lot of your money on gear when you first start out prepping.
Now, what you can do, and you already have more than you realize that you have. If you're just starting out, you can start collecting what you already have. You probably have a knife of some sort. You probably have a lighter or some matches. you probably have some type of bag that you can carry these things in. So collect these things and bring them together, things that you possibly will need for prepping, and collect what you have at the moment. What we're going to do, and I wish I had been told this in the very beginning, begin by filling your prepper pantry with food and water.
And store only what your family will eat. Makes no sense to buy a bunch of foods and canned foods that you don't like or nobody likes just because they're cheap or available. You've got to purchase the kind of things you're going to normally purchase, and you're going to rotate that in and out as well. I shop my prepper pantry. When I need an item, when I need a can, when I need a bag of something, I go into my prepper pantry, pull it, and then I replace it later. Because you don't want to waste money on food your family will resist eating. That's a waste of money, a waste of your time, and that's even miserable. For example, if you had a job loss and you're out of work for like 3 months, you don't want to eat crummy food. You want to eat the kind of food you're accustomed to. So plan on that and devote your prepping monies to the types of food that you're going to need and want to eat.
So we're going to be buying food. We're going to be stocking food. But here are some things that you can buy when you're starting out. Only buy the following things: food and water, first aid and medications, personal hygiene items like toilet paper, soap, shampoo, toothpaste, feminine items, things like that. Only buy, when you're starting out, food and water, first aid and medications, personal hygiene items. Now, hang with us. We're going to get to the fun stuff in just a little bit. Krista mentioned a minute ago storing lots and lots of water. And learn to purify water. You can do this on YouTube. You can do it through books. And it can be as simple as just boiling that water. Now, when you're storing that water, don't use old milk jugs for storage. Two reasons. They're difficult to clean out. And if you don't have it 100% clean, bacteria will begin to grow in there. And secondly, the plastic will break down and begin to leak.
We actually had that happen to us when we...
Now, it wasn't an old milk jug,
no.
But it was a gallon jug of water bought at the store.
Mm-hmm. But it was made of a very flimsy plastic,
right,
that was never intended to be reused.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually popped a hole in it. And I found this out the hard way. I picked it up and it leaked all over me, and I was so surprised.
The plastic will break down and leak, but what you can use starting out, and we don't want you to buy big water, 55-gallon blue water drums at this point. You can use 2-liter drink bottles. Clean those out. Wash those out fairly easily, and it's not going to cause bacteria to grow like milk would. And so save those 2-liter bottles. If you don't drink sodas, ask your friends, some friends at work. Guarantee you know somebody that does. Get them to save you the 2-liter bottles and use those 2-liter bottles to store water. Now, a plastic jug that tea comes in, Arizona tea, for example.
Or Milo's.
Or Milo's, mm-hmm, or whatever. The tea is acidic. And so the plastic is thicker, stronger, and it's made to withstand that. So those make very, very good water storage bottles. Now let's get to the fun stuff, okay? So we don't want you buying anything except food, water, medication, personal hygiene starting out. Then, when you have 3 months of food storage built up, you can slowly start buying gear. But don't stop buying food.
Right. You're going to want to spend your money wisely on buying gear. We tend to resist the notion that some podcasters have mentioned that you're not a true prepper unless you buy X number brand of this or X brand of that, and that it has to be that and that alone. We have found that there's very, very few items in our experience that we feel like you need to buy the brand name for. For example, lighters, like a butane lighter. We have found that the dollar store is a great value. You can get 5 lighters for $1, but 3 of them won't work, and the other 2 won't work very well. The Bic, the Scripto, the Zippo, the brand name lighters, we have found in our experience that they actually are more reliable and will last longer,
mm-hmm,
better money spent. But you can buy whatever gear is going to suit your needs. Once you have that written plan and you have collected the things you already have, then you need to start thinking about the things that you don't have that you will need, for example.
And look at the specific need. Anything that you purchase needs to fill a specific need.
Right. You'll know once you start writing your plan out, you may realize that you may be someone who has absolutely no other backup plan on cooking food other than the stove or oven you're using in your home right now.
And a good example of that is we started camping, and we shared that experience with you working the Yellowhammer horse ride and spending 3 days in the Talladega National Forest. And as we came up to that, we figured out we didn't have a way to cook when we were camping. We had our backup here. Our backup was our grill. And we began to look at this and this need. If it's 10 or 20 degrees outside, we don't want to be standing outside cooking on the grill. And we needed a way to cook at the campsite other than just building a fire, and especially since it was hot. And we saw the need to add a cook stove. And for about $35, we fill that need. So now it has become our primary backup that we can use in the house where it's temperature controlled, and also use it while we're camping. We've not purchased the cool, sexy, must-have items. When we see these come along and somebody says, you've got to have this thing that fills 29 needs, it's 29 tools in one, you know. Some of these things you think that all you have to have is that gadget and you can survive the zombie apocalypse with the alien frogs coming behind them. Our purchases now must fill a specific need for us to purchase them. All right, let's get back to our tips.
Yes. One tip that we like to advise is, if at all possible, and we realize that our listeners run the range economically from, you know, paycheck to paycheck. Some of you may be unemployed. Some of you may be retired. Some of you may be quite well off. You know, everybody's got a different story. But if possible, if you can start living below your means, if you can do that now, you can actually save some money and put some of that cash aside for another need you may have, which is to have some ready cash when all the credit card and debit card machines go dark in a power out situation. Cash is usually the only way you can do any transactions at the gas station, the grocery store, and whatever your market might be.
Or if you have a situation that comes up that you weren't anticipating. Example, I need to go buy a battery for the truck now.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, thankfully, we have our cash stash that I could tap into if I need to be able to purchase that battery.
And then we also try to be very careful about replacing that emergency fund. We dip out of it, we dip back in. We have to replace that emergency money.
And you can only do that by living below your means, and do that as soon as you possibly can, and quit racking up credit card debt.
Right. I actually just paid off a particular credit card and actually cut them up. I don't need that credit card any longer. And so reducing debt, I call that your financial carbon footprint. Reducing that debt footprint eases up on your life anyway, whether you're a prepper or not. Just being able to have more control and more say as to where your hard-earned dollars are going to land instead of somebody else's pocket. You know, that's a very empowering thing to be able to look in your bank account and realize that that money is yours.
I'd rather put it into our bank account than I had pay interest.
Absolutely.
Quit racking up that credit card debt if at all possible. Now, I realize that there are some folks, and I've had friends that do this and have friends that do it today, that they use a credit card and everything they purchase is on a credit card, but they pay that bill off 100% at the end of the month.
And they do that for some sort of plan that they have with that card. There are reward points and frequent flyer miles and cash back and there are some pretty viable options that are with, but you've got to be fully in control.
Exactly. And you have to be disciplined to do that. It has to be paid off at the end of the month. Now, when we're talking about all of this stuff and we realize that it can be kind of frustrating at times, here we are talking about staying the course with prepping and taking baby steps to start with. It can become frustrating. So don't get frustrated. Be patient. Take small steps and work your plan. When you've got some ready cash, look at that plan. What else do I need to purchase? Don't forget to keep buying food. Have a budgeted plan for purchasing food. Dollar cost averaging. Put that into food every single week or month, however you shop.
Remember the old saying, slow and steady wins the race. Mm-hmm. And that's where we are here.
That's how the tortoise beat the hare.
Exactly.
All right, work your plan. Now, another thing that I wish we'd been told, and we didn't even start thinking about this until we'd been prepping for several years, and that's prioritizing sanitation, even for the short term. If something happens to the sewage system, how are we going to deal with sanitation? And mm-hmm. there are ways, okay? We're not going to go into those right now, but prioritize sanitation.
Yes. And another thing, too, is to be able to get into shape or stay in good health and good shape at this point. Good, successful preppers take care of their health. And we're on a journey right now that we're moving toward health in a more positive light, which is something that we've been a little bit reluctant of the past few years. But we're of the age and of the mindset now that we know that our health is an extremely valuable asset. But we know that getting in shape and staying in shape is good for your health in the long run, whether you meet any other emergency or not. But you've got to be able to have the strength and fortitude in your physical body and in your mental health as well to be able to get through an SHTF, whatever that might be.
And right. And if you had to get home and you've got 3 days on the road to have to hike through the woods over hills and carry in a backpack, you can't do that if you weigh 900 pounds.
Right. There's some people that wouldn't do that now under non-emergency mm-hmm. circumstances. Double down on the fear that's in your heart from an emergency, the uncertainty, the unknown, the things that can kind of plague your mind. These stressors will come out in your body. Your mm-hmm. stress manifests in the body, and when that happens, you can become quite incapacitated and very ill. And we just don't need that as preppers. We need to be at our top of our game if we can get there.
And some side benefits to that, and one of the reasons that we're doing some of what we're doing right now is to lower my blood sugar, and we've done very well with that. My blood sugar has dropped probably 30-35%, something like that in the last.
Significant.
It's been a significant drop in the last few weeks. Our blood pressure is getting better. And the idea is we want to get off some of these medications that we take, because in a long-term SHTF, we're probably not going to be able to acquire many of those medications, and being in shape will help us to get around that.
Absolutely. And another thing that we want to leave you with is don't go it alone. Where you feel comfortable sharing, get your family involved. Now, I know that that's can be a dicey subject for some. We have met and spoken to a number of preppers who have said, I am carrying this torch alone. Mm-hmm. I have had family members to dismiss me, ignore me, make fun of me even.
I've even seen the husband and wife. I read one account where the husband was just totally not on board with prepping of any kind, and the wife just continued and continued and continued. And then when COVID hit and they had the lockdowns and they had toilet tissue and everybody else was looking for toilet tissue, and they had the food that they wanted when it was not on the shelves in the grocery store, he kind of came around and said, you know, I'm glad you did this, and I'm on board now. So if they live in the house with you, do your best you can to get them on board with you.
Right. You know, you can easily convince someone of the practical need for extra food and water in a situation where, let's just say, your local grocery store, for whatever the reason. I mean, they could go dark and lock their doors anytime they want to. Mm-hmm. That's a business. It can be open and it can be closed. And you don't have control over that.
Or it can be closed by the government. There's even discussion of some more shutdowns at this point.
there's practical and practical ways. In fact, this last COVID year of 2020 last year certainly did open many, many eyes. Mm-hmm. And that's why we have so many more new preppers who are just starting this and said, look, I get it. I did not realize until this happened that other people have control of what's going on all around outside me, and that I can no longer rely on my plan of just going to the market every day and just getting what I want for the day. You know, a lot of people enjoy doing that. That's part of the fun of their life, is going to these fresh open air markets and buying today's food. Keep doing that when you can, but there may come a day when you're going to go to the market and there's going to be nobody there.
Now, here's a way that I've gotten other folks involved in prepping, and that's not necessarily sharing with them that we are preppers or what we have or anything, but I've asked a simple question. Remember, we live in North Alabama, so this is a very far out hypothetical situation. If we woke up one morning and our city had 48 inches of snow on the ground, now we're where we are. You're not leaving with 48 inches of snow. Alabama does not have the equipment to handle a foot of snow when it comes to the roads and things like that. So if you woke up and you had 48 inches of snow on the ground, how long could you feed your family?
Oh, did you want to also throw in there that you've also got no electricity?
Oh, I don't even go that far. I just start out with the how long could you feed your family?
How long could you feed your family? Yeah.
And then they will come back 3 or 4 or 5 days maybe. And then I ask the question, if all the electricity is out, how are you going to cook it? And sometimes that gets folks thinking. When the COVID situation hit, I have a friend that said he had to go spend several hundred dollars to purchase food to be able to feed his family, knowing that there were going to be some shutdowns and some shortages and things like that. He had to go drop a few hundred dollars right off the bat. And I have convinced him that if he uses a system of storing a couple of items each time he goes to the store, that he'll be better prepared for next time. I've also asked the question, how are you going to charge your devices in a power outage from storms if it lasts a number of days? And I've had people, the best they can come up with is take it to the car and plug it into the car. Well, there are power banks that you can purchase.
Mm-hmm. All sizes.
And I recharged yours yesterday and gave it back to you, and you can charge your phone 4 or 5 times off of that.
I'm very impressed with how much power and how long they last. Mm-hmm. These power banks, they take on many different shapes and sizes and many different abilities in terms of their level of mm-hmm. power sharing. Some are very minimal and some are quite maximum, and they can last for days and days and days because we've tried them.
So that's just some questions that I have asked folks to get them to begin to think about some prepping. But the point here is get your family involved as much as you possibly can. Now, our daughters, 3 of our 4 daughters, probably 2 of our 4 daughters were not very much into prepping until the COVID thing began to hit and they began to see the need that we were talking about.
If there's any silver lining to the COVID pandemic, which is a tragic, tragic thing to happen to our world, it is that it has brought about a brand new appreciation for preparedness, mm-hmm. for practical preparedness. We're not talking conspiracy theory, tin hat stuff. We're talking about the kinds of things that you and I both need to get through our day, to live, to survive, to thrive in any emergency situation.
Prepping is more about the everyday emergencies than it is about the large disaster.
It certainly is. And we don't want any of our listeners to be caught short and realizing and regretting later, oh, if I had only fill in the blank. Oh, if I had only bought more batteries.
Right.
Oh, if I had only bought some water instead of all this dry rice and dry beans and no water to cook it in. Mm-hmm. And oh, if I had only. So don't live in regret. Start prepping.
So let's cover these tips just to recap very quickly. Make a written plan and don't start buying gear right off. Get your pantry to 3 months worth of food and water. And then when you have 3 months of food and water stored, you can slowly start buying gear, but make sure that gear fills a need that you have. And don't buy it because somebody us included, says you have to have this to be a prepper. Start living below your means. Don't get frustrated. Prioritize sanitation. Stay in shape and don't go it alone. Anything else you want to add?
Well, we welcome listeners to our podcast that are new at prepping, and we also welcome your questions, your comments, and tips. We love to learn. If you've got something that you would like to add, email us or visit us on the website and drop us a line, because we're all learning from one another. I think we all need each other, and I think the genuine prepper community is a prepper community of large hearts and generous spirits, and we're not those that want to keep things to ourselves, you know, my four and no more kind of thing. We don't believe in that. We believe that we do need to reach out and help our neighbors. We do need to have a heart of concern for people. I think that that's a Christ-like thing to do, and that's what we espouse. So we welcome preppers, and you advanced preppers. Some of you have never written a plan. You've prepped well. You've got a lot of food. You've got a lot of water. You've got a lot of gear. But you've never really written it out. And you may find that in a highly stressful situation, having a written plan is so much of a peace of mind, because even if you're at high stress, a written plan can give you the time that you need to really collect your thoughts and be very efficient and very resourceful and very reliable as an advanced prepper.
Sometimes these plans, when you have thought about them, when everything is calm and you're sitting here drinking a cup of coffee, you can pull that plan out. And if this happens, then I need to do this, 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 and this. And for example, in certain damage, let's just take a tornado situation. The first things on our prepper plan is kill the power to the house, turn the water off, turn the gas off. That's three things that we can do right off if we have severe damage here with tornado, because we don't want anybody getting electrocuted. We don't want water spewing up all over everything until we know that the water pipes are not burst in some area. We want to turn that water off, and we want to turn that gas off because we don't want an explosion.
Absolutely. I mean, you have to sit and think about this. This isn't always just going to pop into your head first thing. Write it down. So we even encourage our advanced preppers. We appreciate the hard work and the many years that you have put into your plan. But some of you have just now hearing for the first time, oh, I never wrote a bit of this down. I've just got, well, what if? You may need to pass that binder on to someone else. If you're not actually in your home and somebody else is, maybe they need to know what the plan is.
A good example is I may have a great plan in my head, but if it happens and I'm not here, what are you going to do? Because I haven't written that down, and you don't know what the game plan is to handle this particular situation.
Exactly.
Okay. So start out with writing that plan. Spend your money wisely. Go slow. Take baby steps and don't get frustrated. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the podcast today. If you haven't done this already, go ahead and click the subscribe button so you'll never miss one of our episodes. And share it with your friends and family. You can reach us on Facebook at Practical Prepping. You can email us at info@practicalprepping.info. And our website is practicalprepping.info. And as always, remember, stuff happens. Stay prepared.